Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Roofing Contractor Q&A. I'm RC Editor Art Eisner, and I really appreciate you joining us, whether it's by video or if you're part of our podcast. Today, I'm really happy to be joined by the new CEO of the National Roofing Contractors Association, McKay Daniels. Hi, McKay. Welcome back to the RC studio. It's always good to catch up, and I know that these are very busy times.
Indeed, Art, but I appreciate the invitation. It's always great to be able to visit with you and the team.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about taking over at NRCA. It's, I imagine some of it must feel like brand new. How's that transition going?
Sure. We're just a few days into it now, but the transition's going well, I would say. And in large part, that's come because of Reed's assistance and guidance and leadership on this. One of the first meetings that we had was him talking about transition and succession planning, and he wanted it to be a steady, deliberate process. NRCA has been around for 130 some odd years, and having that continuity and the maintaining of these key essential functions that the association provides is critically important. And so it's been a deliberate, proactive effort for many months and years now, and so far so good.
Well, that's great, no doubt. You're put in a position to really hit the ground running, given your background with your organization. And of course, we're talking about the Honorable Reed Ribble, who did step down after a 5-year stint as a CEO. You can read more about that handoff from Reed to McKay becoming CEO in the June e-magazine of Roofing Contractor here on roofingcontractor.com. McKay, you mentioned the history of the NRCA. In the modern era, though, I think you're only the third person to have this title in the last 4 decades, right?
Right.
No pressure there.
Right.
Can you offer up what would you say were the best pieces of advice Reed offered on his way out?
Sure. Well, and to your broader comment, it is a bit, given the longevity of the organization and the continuity of its staff leadership, it is a bit daunting to be one of such a small handful. And that's something that both is humbling and terrifying at the same time, wanting to do right by this organization. And as for advice that Reed gave me, as I kind of touched on earlier, it wasn't a sit down one conversation, flip a switch, but a steady, deliberate effort. And he did so. If I have to quote him, I guess I would say he has said a number of times his goal was to make this transition as seamless as possible, and so seamless that no one would notice, which is laughable. Reed's a world-class class act, and so obviously his stepping down is going to be felt and missed, but he really tried to get the organization in a good spot for this transition to go as smooth and effectively as possible. And I think he largely succeeded. At this point, if something breaks or if I mess up, it's 100% on me. It can't be attributed to his lack of effort or planning or time. So the goal being just to make it seamless for our members, for the industry, and try to maintain the continuity as best we can, because there's a lot of important issues going on out there, and the industry is facing headwinds. So going through rookie growing pains, we don't have much time for that. So fingers crossed, we're going to get it right.
Well put, it's a great transition, as well as Reed helped set up this process. You're right, roofing is really at a very critical point. Give us your assessment of where the roofing industry is as a whole right now.
Sure. I think the industry overall, I guess I would describe it as strong but strained, right? Regardless of where you're at in that supply chain, which gets talked about a lot and rightly so right now, regardless of where you're at in the industry, I think safe to say that you probably had a pretty good year, but you've had to work harder, be more creative, be more resilient, and just almost gut it out than you had in the past. The challenges that our members and the industry are facing are largely unprecedented. And those that have existed, you know, workforce has been around for a long time, but it's even more exacerbated now. It's our issues that had been longstanding are now still there, but they're on steroids. And so I would say that the industry remains robust, and our contractors especially continue to solve problems every day. And it's really remarkable to see, but folks are tired. You get together at whether NRCA functions, or I've been traveling and visiting with a number of them over the past months, and you can just sense it in their tone, their demeanor, the conversations. It's the businesses are functioning, they're doing their job every day, but they're working harder than ever to get it done. And so that takes a strain and takes a toll, for sure.
What are some of the concerns you're hearing about as from your membership as the industry moves into peak season?
Oh, sure. Summertime is roofing season, and it really comes down to those two critical functions of the industry. It's inventory, materials, and labor. Normally the manufacturing side of the industry would go and build inventory. They continue to produce through the slower winter months and have that inventory in order to push out into the market when demand surges during the warmer summer months. And given the supply and demand dynamics, we don't have that inventory this year. And so there are genuine concerns, especially folks that are in the, you know, do a lot of work with schools or projects that have to hit a relatively narrow window of completion. There's some white knuckle moments going on right now and in the months ahead for whether they're going to be able to hit those targets and get the work done. I think folks are cautiously optimistic, but there's with that cautious optimism is a genuine amount of concern, and we won't have the full sense of it until later this fall of where we stand with getting back to some normalcy between supply and demand. But this peak season is going to tell us a lot for good or bad. And there's with a number of manufacturers already, you know, reportedly sold out for the year. It's creating conversations and dynamics that, you know, jobs peak season may just get extended. They'll continue to problem solve and troubleshoot this unprecedented event or events for the next few months and beyond.
Well, weather permitting, perhaps, right?
Right. Let's pray for a variety of reasons. You know, storm seasons are mild this year.
The issues you just mentioned, are they more exacerbated in the commercial roofing market? You know, are the supply lines and inflationary costs really hitting harder there?
That's a really interesting question. The short answer is yes. Obviously, with the roofing industry, we're definitely not monolithic. There's regional and local aspects that come into play, and then types of businesses that contractors especially operate in, but commercial is having a tougher time than residential. You know, the nature of the roof systems, right? There's more components. There's more variables that can break or get delayed, and in the commercial side than often the residential. And if you're missing one component, you don't have a roof system. And you know, so that the complexity of it tends to make it worse. But we've had some reports of you know, residential slowdowns as well, but it definitely feels more acute on the commercial side.
How do you feel like NRCA is helping roofers in both markets really, if not overcome some of these challenges, at least try and tackle some of them?
Sure. I can't believe these words are ever coming out of my mouth, but you know, good legal counsel and good legal advice on the front end, it really is a an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure, that having clear expectations up front as strong contracts that are clearly defined and delineated of expectations and cost escalation clauses and delay provisions. One of the things that philosophically I espouse to, that in general, drama or conflict comes from lack of clarity. You know, if expectations aren't clear, that's where that gray area can come into play. And I'm thinking one thing and you're thinking another, and that's where we might butt heads a bit. And so a well-structured contract for a contractor on the customer side is important, and constant communication with both the customer as well as the upstream supply chain aspects is really important. I was visiting with a manufacturer at a sales conference that they were having for their national sales team, and the session before I spoke was all about communication and particularly, you know, talking to the customers, talking to the clients, talking to contractors or building owners. And now more than ever, in this era of uncertainty on pricing or delivery dates or, you know, pick a variable, there's uncertainty abounds, and having clear, good, open lines of communication are vitally important. Like you said, it's not necessarily going to solve the problem, but it can help mitigate it. It can take a level 9 down to a level 6, if you will, and kind of make it so that relationship is still functioning and operating in a healthy, productive manner. Because ultimately, the work's got to get done, and having clarity of expectations on both sides really goes a long way. I've heard from contractor after contractor of, now obviously price is vitally important, but the lack of certainty on delivery is the item that comes up right there with price time and time again, of just being able to tell their crews and their teams when to expect XYZ component is huge. And that all comes down to being honest and candid. And if you got to deliver bad news, deliver it early and clearly and work your way through it. But it's definitely a challenge.
There's a big trickle down effect, to all of that. You know, we're obviously seeing a lot of product innovations and even company consolidations, both within contractors and in distribution, that's continuing. It's keeping our news feed very busy, which is good. But are those encouraging signs? Are there any concerns about that?
Sure. No, that's another great question, and I'll break it in, I guess, into innovations and consolidations into two separate items there. And actually, as part of this new role, I write a column for our magazine each month, and the one that I just completed is about the demographics of the country and the challenges that presents. And it comes down to, essentially, we don't have enough workers, right? And there's different ways that we can get out of this demographic problem that's growing into a crisis. And one of them is through innovation and becoming more efficient. And that's something that the industry and America in general has been doing for 100 years since the invention of basic tools. It's how can we take our labor, our time, and use it more effectively. And it's going to be critically important to the long-term success of the industry to have that innovation continue, so that contractors can do their job more easily, quickly, and efficiently with either the same labor or even less. And that's something that I know the brain trusts out there are spending a lot of time, effort, and energy and financial resources trying to innovate. And it's vitally important that we do. Now, on the consolidation side, it's both good and bad. It's good in that it's an indication of the strength of the industry, right? If somebody's willing to go and purchase company X, that's a testament to company X being a strong, robust, viable, great investment. Mm-hmm. And the faith in that investment's going to continue to yield revenue for the purchaser, and that adds value. And so that's really encouraging. It's also, an indicator of the macroeconomic forces that are out there with cheap financing, You know, if you can borrow money at effectively zero rates, that makes these consolidations and purchases more attractive and attainable. It'll be interesting to see, you know, whether it's private equity or other avenues, if that activity slows down with interest rates rising the way they are. And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing, but it's still a very robust, diverse industry. And so additional consolidation isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's always something you got to be mindful of. Healthy competition is good for everybody.
We mentioned obviously workforce development. That is still a the other real challenge
right
out there. But there is some real momentum. Obviously, pro certification continues to move on. NRCA has a new curriculum partnerships and is working with Skills USA for the first time. There's a lot of positive things happening. What's encouraging to you on that front?
Oh, there are a lot of positive things happening. And the association, I've been with NRCA for about 4 years now, and we have spent millions of dollars on workforce, the broader aspect of workforce development. And one of the things that we're really trying to focus on is broadening, I call it broadening the funnel, trying to get more people to enter this industry, to consider roofing as not a job, but a career. And we've really tried to focus on that in recent years in our partnerships with NCCR and developing curriculum that contractors and schools and trade and technical schools and various entities out there can go and use to expose young people to roofing is vitally important. And Virginia, actually with Skills USA, just recently had the first ever statewide skills competition. And, you know, the association has been around for over 100 years. Roofing is probably, you know, there's been shelter since the beginning of time, one of the first inventions ever made. But just this past year is the first ever statewide competition on roofing skills. And that's really exciting to see this progression starting to occur. And later on here in June, roofing is going to be demonstrated for the first time at the national level at Skills USA. And that's come from that was no accident or just happenstance. You know, our own, I'll claim it too, Rick D'Amato, and you know, has been passionate on the Skills USA effort and pushing the roofing industry to be a part of it. And it's exciting to see this, you know, it's the fruit starting to be born. It's still just a small fruit tree. We've got a lot of growing to go still and a long ways to go, but the progress is being made. And another aspect on the workforce aspect comes at the federal government level at Roofing Day just a couple months ago. We touched on it a little bit, and I apologize. I'm going to be a little bit of a nerd here, but you'll get to over the years. I'm a nerd at heart, so here we go. But you know, let's take 118-year-olds today, hypothetical 118-year-olds, right? Of those 100, 86 or so are going to graduate from high school. So of those 86, roughly 2/3 are going to enroll in college. So now you're down to roughly 55, 56 of those 118-year-olds, roughly half are going to enroll in college. But of those 55 or 6, only 60% of them are actually going to graduate in 6 years. So now you're down to 35 kids of that original pool of 100. They're actually getting their college education. Getting the degree. Now, that's important and that's great for those 35. But what about the other 65 out there who, for one reason or another, college wasn't a path or graduation wasn't a path for them? And the part where the federal government comes into play is we collectively spend roughly $150 billion with a B on those 35 each year, but only spend about 1%, roughly $1 billion, a little more than that, but roughly $1 billion on the other 65. And this is something that I'll probably be talking about quite a bit. It could probably make a great best of success presentation. So maybe I'll do it in December, but the misallocation of resources that's out there is really something that we should be talking about both, you know, as an industry and with our elected officials, And that's, I don't want folks to misconstrue, you know, college education is important, and it's, it is a strong path to, you know, ongoing lifelong success, but it's clearly, it's not for everybody. And for so many resources to be spent on a relatively smaller portion of our 18-year-olds out there, we collectively as a society can and would should be doing better. I don't care if you're a ruby red state Republican or a dark blue Democrat, you can see the you can make the case in the ROI there collectively as a society that we can be doing better at the trades level and for those 18-year-olds that aren't going to go get a college degree. So I'll get off my soapbox.
It's a compelling statement for sure, and I think that is a very big big priority or big long-term, you know, objective. Yeah. I'm curious, what should roofers know about in the short term? What are some of the things that or objectives you're looking forward to, say in the next 6 months before year's end, or looking sure. briefly ahead into 23?
Sure. And obviously the workforce components are multi department wide here at NRCA, but we've got a lot of other initiatives and projects that are going on amongst the team here. Every department, it's really been remarkable during COVID that and post COVID, we really didn't miss a beat, and in fact we've gone faster because the needs are greater than ever before. And so whether it's our technical department that's working on gutter certifications and multiple new manuals coming out this year, or our health and safety department that has a healthcare plan, but also just recently rolled out a cybersecurity insurance program specifically for the roofing industry, which, you know, statistics show that small businesses are far more likely to get hacked and be a victim of cyber attacks than the large companies, specifically because they don't have the resources to defend themselves like large corporations do. So we're really trying to provide services and assistance to these folks where they really need it. And then education continues to work on our track programs to educate folks and get them trained up faster. There's really a lot of exciting things going on across the NRCA spectrum, and that it's gonna continue going for not just the next 6 months, but, you know, the 6 months beyond that and years to come.
Right. And I should say we're obviously right upon National Roofing Week that annually the NRCA supports. Great opportunity for the industry really to combat that perception and to showcase that professionalism we've been talking about for a few years. Right.
Absolutely. It really is a highlight of the year, both internally for the staff, but watching the input and the feedback and the postings on social media. The industry pride and it comes from one worker at a time, one company at a time, but it really does bubble up and percolate out there, and we're able to really say what we do is important, what we do is matters, and we are professional skilled craftsmen in what we do. And to have that you see the crews holding signs, you see the charitable activity that goes on over the week and the giving back that takes place. It really is inspiring, not just for us within the industry to see, but, you know, for those friends and relatives and the broader community to see. It's a great week, and it's exciting that it's here.
Awesome. Well, thanks, McKay. We're certainly looking forward to that and more of your leadership in the months and years ahead. Where can people find out more about the NRCA?
I like to say that our website is our front door, and so nrca.net. And from there, you can look at whether it's National Roofing Week items, upcoming schedules of events, and also other association. We have dozens and dozens of affiliates across the country, whether it's FRSA, the Florida Association, Western States, NERCA, MRCA, and then statewide or locals. And they have activities going on all the time. And so there's plenty of opportunities for any of your viewers and listeners to get involved at the local level and start to, if you're not currently involved, I think you'll find it both enjoyable, inspirational, educational. More often than not, people gain far more from their networking and camaraderie of being a part of one of these associations, and their bottom line benefits as a result. So check out nrca.net.
All right. And before you head there, while you're still on roofingcontractor.com, be sure to sign up for our free e-magazine and e-newsletters so you can stay on top of the latest news and information impacting the industry. Stay safe, and we will see you next time. Thanks, McKay.
Thanks a lot, Art. Great to be with you.